tonight, if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we continue our study on the bushels of fruit being rooted in Christ. And today we're going to talk about the fruits of biblical ministry, the fruits of biblical ministry. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll start out with verse 14. While you're looking for that, let me mention again this brochure on the missions conference. I hope you'll pick one up. There are plenty of them around in the lobby, and it tells you the whole schedule. We have the mission song in there, and then a letter I hope you'll read that I have written, placed in there, and the different families. Brother and Ms. Tom Gilmer from Brazil, they are veteran missionaries. Tremendous work they've done. The Depew family, missionaries to China. Dr. Roger Green is a very exciting preacher. And then the sixth family, they're going to Scandinavia. And so we also have listed in there our 168 missions projects. Some are home missions, some foreign missions, a lot of different areas. And I hope you'll go through that. Read through what Faith Promise Mission Giving is. One of our goals this year is going to be to get everybody involved, even if it's just a little involvement. If we can get all of our people to understand and get involved in Faith Promise Missions, this is above your regular tithes and offerings, and that all goes to missions and what it is, and showing you from the Scripture that it is very biblical. Also out there in the lobby, there you'll see on your way out on the right on that desk, these little smaller pass-outs, it says one mission, missions conference, gives a date, so it advertises it. But on the back, it talks about our foreign food festival, and we're going to have a drama that night, too. And it'll be very good. It'll be top-notch. We'll be having that over in the Family Life Center. And this is going to be, the drama is going to be The Bridge of Blood. And it's a story about Jim Elliot and the Alka Indians and all that happened to them. The meal is free, and there will be a nursery provided. So pass these out and try to get your friends to come. We're going to have different foods from different countries, and the people who will be serving it will hopefully be dressed like that country, or as close as they can get to it. And the food will be representative of that country. So it'll be a good time of fellowship, but the drama you don't want to miss. And that'll be presented by our choir and some of our other members of the church. So pass those out. Invite some folks. It gives you something to give to them, and that'll be a helpful thing. All right, the fruits of biblical ministry as we look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. In the Scripture, let's just read those. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry. Notice that. Hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when we read those verses, we discover Paul had two motivating factors, two main things that controlled his life after he got saved. And one of those was that Christ died for him. That's what he's saying in verses 14 and 15. The love of Christ constrains us because we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Paul went back to the fact that Christ died for him. We all died in Adam, and we all are made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. So another thing, one was that Christ died for him. He knew that. And what a debt he knew that he owed Christ because he did that. And the love of Christ captivated the Apostle Paul. And then the second thrust was he had a total new purpose in life. Before he got saved, it was all about promotion. He was a Pharisee. It was all about who I am and how high I can go on the ladder and how many accolades I can get and all of that. But now he has a whole new purpose. It's not about achieving, doing all of that, but it's about reconciliation. He had an appreciation for salvation, a new purpose, and that was the ministry of reconciliation. And so in verse 18, he said, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." We were not reconciled with him. We were out of his will. We were lost and on our way to hell, but he brought us back together and reconciled us with God the Father by Jesus Christ. He's given to us the same ministry. And Paul knew that. He was saved by grace and had that ministry, and it wasn't about self-promotion. So, those are reasons for us to live for Christ also. Those are two good reasons for us to bear fruit for Christ and to do what God has told us to do. And that's important for us to know why he has saved us. A little girl was seeing her aunt and her mother having some very important documents, and they would pull out their driver's license, credit cards, and she kept seeing all of that going on, and she wanted something that was important for herself. And she had a little purse, so she got a hold of her birth certificate. And she took it to school, and she was out on the playground, and she was showing it, and the wind caught it and blew it away, and she was trying to find it, and the janitor came over where she was and asked her what she was looking for and what was wrong, and the little girl was crying, and she made this statement. She said, "I just lost my excuse for being born." Well, a lot of us, think about it, have just lost our excuse for being born again. Our reason for being born, again, is not to just go to heaven ourselves, but we have been given a ministry, every born-again person, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. I'm afraid that many Christians have lost or at least forgotten their reason for being born again, their excuse, if we could call it that. And we get so wrapped up, and as I mentioned many times, we're consumed with the American dream. We're consumed with materialism, money, and achievement, and all of those things are emphasized, pleasure, all of that is that way. And it's okay to enjoy God's blessings. That's fine if he gives them to you, but don't forget, that's not the main purpose. That's not why God saved us. That's not why he left us here, to accumulate, to achieve, and do all of those things. If he blesses us, use it for his glory. But we've got to remember that we have a holy calling. You ladies in this room, you have a holy calling. You say, "Well, that's my husband's job." Oh, no, it's your job, just as much as your husband. It's your job, husbands and wives, just as much as it is my job. We all have a holy calling from God. Why do we assume the ministry is for the pastor and the ministry is only for the staff? That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what he says. It's all, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and we should be rooted in this purpose of ministry. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, I think the Bible teaches at least three aspects of how we can do that, be rooted in this ministry, three ways to be rooted with the right purpose. And that means that when we're going to see an increase, we're going to see some good things happen. So So let's talk about those for the next few minutes. Number one, we need to be rooted in the Scriptures. Rooted in the Scriptures. Again, we look back at verses 18 and 19. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not putting their trespasses unto them, imputing it, holding it unto them, but he's committed unto us the, what's the next thing? Word, W-O-R-D, word of reconciliation. And it goes back to the Bible. It is directly tied to the Word. Now, why is it tied to the Word? Well, under these three things, let's give you three things, reasons it's tied to the Word. One is the Scripture is the Word of God. How many of you believe that this morning? Say amen. The Scripture is the Word of God. And so we use the Word. It's not clever tactics or some little plan that we always have to give or tricking them into praying. I could almost get just about anybody to pray a sinner's prayer if I work it just right, like a salesman. But it's the Word of God that's supposed to be doing that, not our manipulation. Now, we can give it out, and we ought to be faithful to give it out and let the Spirit of God deal with that. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. All right, Paul, if it wasn't that, it wasn't all of that, what was it? But in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and power. In demonstration of the Spirit and power. Not some clever trickery to get them to pray a prayer. I've seen a lot of people. I've seen people say to, they ask a whole bunch of waiters, do you want to be saved? Oh, yeah. And we'll pray this prayer. And they pray it. You never see them. You talk to them later. They don't even know what it is. I've done some follow-up work for some of that where people were supposed to want a lot of people at a hotel or something. And I followed up after they went out of town, went down, and they didn't even know what I was talking about. One of the greatest supposedly soul winners in the country, he's gone now. He's passed away. But everybody thought he was Mr. Soul Winner, and he had that had all those accolades. I remember going talking to some people that they said he had led to the Lord when he was there speaking at my previous church. And the two people that I told that, I said, he said that you got saved. One of the men said, I don't have any idea why he told you that, but I didn't get saved. And he said, all he said was, do you believe in Jesus? And I said, yes. He said, you're saved. And so he went on, you know, look, people can believe in Jesus and go to hell. You got to believe what he did. You got to believe that he paid for your sin debt. And then you've got to ask him to save you. And you got to mean it and put all of your weight on that. So it's not just clever tactics, but it is depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to work. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Bible. The Bible communicates the mind of God. This is a precious book. It's a wonderful book. It ought to have the best place in your house. It ought to have priority. This is God's mind. This is God's Word. And so we know that it is, and it communicates God's mind. And it gives us truth for living. So we ought to know the Word of God. We ought to love the Word of God. We ought to spend some time meditating on the Word of God. And for sure, we ought to live out the Word of God. Know it and love it, study it, meditate on it, live out the Word of God. And so Scripture is God's Word. Three ways to get rooted in Scripture. How do you do that, preacher? Number one, it's very simple, study the Scripture. Study the Scripture. How many of us spend a lot of time every week studying the Scriptures? And so, 2 Timothy 2:15, this is not a little suggestion, it's a commandment to us, an imperative. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. The reason a lot of people are afraid when cults come to their doors because they don't know the Bible themselves. And so they don't know what to tell them. But we should know the Word of God. And we should be as familiar with this book as a master craftsman is with his tools. These are our tools to carry out what God has told us to do. And here it is, the Word of God. And so we ought to do that. So we need to study the Scripture. And then secondly, we need to meditate on the Scripture. In other words, run it through our thought processes all the time. Get in the Word and then think about what you studied. Think about what your devotion was that morning or that night. Think about it the next day. Meditate on the Scripture. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Study the Word, meditate on the Word, so you'll know what to do and you'll be able to do it. And that means we practice the Scripture. Not just know the Scripture, but do what the Scripture says. James 1:22, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. A lot of people know the Word and know what to do. They just don't do it. And that's a shame. People know the Bible teaches tithing. They just don't do it. That's a shame. It knows the Bible teaches you shouldn't gossip. I know what the Bible says and shouldn't murmur. I know what it says, but we still do it anyway. And we're critical. The Bible says don't do that, but we still do it. Why? So anyway, we have to know the Word of God, meditate on it, and do those things. David Livingstone had a heart for Africa, and he went into Africa, and he took with him 70 different books with him that weighed 200 pounds. The further they went, the more the helpers he had hired got sick, and then some of them got afraid, and they dropped out, and he had to drop some of his books and drop some of his books and drop some more of his books until he dropped all of them that he had, three different satchels he was carrying, and then he just kept his Bible. And boy, what a statement that is. That's the only book you really need. Of all the other books, what we read, what is there, the book that is left ought to always be the Bible. We need time for the Word of God. It's a resource that we need. And then Scripture is the center, or should be the center of ministry. A lot of times when we use the word ministry, we think about caring for people. And that is somewhat of a ministry. Doing good deeds for them. But biblically speaking, there is no true ministry without ministering the Word of God. The truest way of ministry is ministering the Word of God. The Scripture, I think, is clear on that. New Testament ministry, the context of it is teaching and preaching and then aid in delivering the Word of God so people understand it. For instance, Acts 21:19, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. In other words, Paul's ministry was saturated after he got saved and surrendered to the Lord with preaching. And as he preached, lives were changed. What things God had wrought among the Gentiles. In other words, their lives changed. Those Gentiles, he was a Jew preaching to Gentiles, and he said, because I preached, their lives were changed. Acts 20:24, but none of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What's that, Paul? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what ministry Paul received, and that's the ministry you and I have received. What we do with it is a different thing. Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves continue to prayer and to, Paul said, the ministry of the Word. Or Luke said, to the ministry of the Word. And so part of my job is to equip others to do that, but we have to all be involved in doing it. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. They go together for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that's part of my job, is to do what I'm trying to do this morning, is to challenge you and edify you to understand that your job is to get the gospel out to other people. It's the ministry that you've been called to of reconciliation. Not just me, not just Paul, not just the staff of this church. And then Scripture gives plans, the plans of reconciliation. This book is not just a book to study. It's a book to get the message that God has given us about how to be saved, the word of reconciliation. In verse 19, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world unto Himself. And so He didn't impute their trespasses unto them. He hath committed unto us that word of reconciliation, so they can be saved. That's all He's saying, is we need to tell them how to be saved. And Jesus Himself came to reconcile, and we are appointed to deliver the message of reconciliation. He came to take care of it. We are to deliver that same message. Down in Houston, on NASA's, in the control center on the wall, they have this mission statement. It says to always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequences. Part of their mission statement. Let me read that again and see if you can relate it to the Great Commission. To always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequences. In other words, whether we do the job right or whether we don't, it has consequences, and it does for those that are lost. And that's why we need to take every window of opportunity that we have to seize the opportunity. Hey, it's for you, ladies. Hey, men, it's for you. It's not just for me. It's for everybody in this room right now. It is for us to do. You say, I'm just not a soul winner. I'm not forward. I just don't know how to talk. He just tells us what to do, and He's given us the ministry, and it's a ministry of reconciliation. And it's a very simple thing to have the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Share your faith. That's all He's talking about. Look for those opportunities to share your faith. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you going to heaven? Do you have that blessed hope? Then tell somebody else about it. That's all He's saying. It's very simple. You say, that's somebody else's job. I tell you, it's your job, and it's my job to do that. I don't care who we are. And we can have co-workers we talk to. We can have people at the grocery store. We can have people that have been injured in an accident. I remember a guy he finally did die. And they had a bad wreck in front of our house in Indiana. Hit a big tree. I ran out, see what I could do. I heard it when it hit and ran out. And the next door neighbor was a nurse. She came out and the guy was there and he was bleeding profusely. And I told him about Jesus. I said, man, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to come to Christ right now. You might die. He said, that was cruel. No, he did die. But he cussed me out and didn't receive the Lord. But I tried. At least I knew I tried. And they said he went to the emergency room, and the nurses up there said he raised up and said, oh, God, hollered as loud as he could and died just like that. Well, at least he got the gospel. But maybe somebody should have gotten to him before that. But we need to do that. We need to seize the opportunity. The other night we had a deacon's meeting, Tuesday night, and I didn't really have time to go home and eat and all of that. So I ran down to the cafeteria here, and they were not busy at all. And I got me some food and went to my table. And this young lady was moving around and filling up salt shakers and all that kind of stuff. And she came by whizzing by my table and said, I'm your waitress. And she said, do you need anything? I said, no, I don't need anything. I didn't have much on my plate anyway, so I said, I don't need anything. And she come by and finally I said, hey, are you raised here? And I got in conversation with her. How long have you worked here? Finally, I said, well, what's your church background? And finally, I talked to her about that and found out she wasn't really saved. She thought she was all right. And told her how to be saved. And I said, you know, you could pray right here if you wanted to and receive Christ as your Savior. That's up to you. I'm not going to put any pressure on you, but I could sense that she came under real conviction. And she said to me, you know, I'd like to do that right now. And she stuck her hand out, and I took her hand, and we prayed. She prayed the sinner's prayer. She has to work today. She can't be here. Maybe that'll change in time. But I'm just saying, seize the opportunities. Secondly, we've got to hurry, rooted in service. It's rooted in our service. Verses 19 and 20, he talks about doing that. Now we are ambassadors, verse 20, for Christ. Did you know you're an ambassador today? You say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Are you saved? If you're saved, say amen real loud. Well, everybody said amen. You're an ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ. How do you know that? It's what the Bible says. There it is. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. And we are ambassadors. We need to recognize that. And we need to go from studying to sharing. And so Christ has given us a specific ministry. He talks about it there in the latter part of verse 19. That part of that is reconciliation, and then a trust and an assignment. He has trusted us to give that out. Suppose some high-ranking military official or somebody in government gave you an envelope and said, here's a message. I want you to take this message, and you take it to so-and-so. It's extremely important. It has to do with the defense of our country. Take it right over there, right now. What would you do with it? How would you feel about it? You'd know you had an important message, and you'd have to give it away and do what he said do. What about the King of Kings? He's given us a message. The King of all kings has given us a message. And what are we doing with it? Stick it in our pocket. It's not too important. No, it's a message he's given to us to give away. And we don't need to be bashful about doing it. And by the way, soul winning is not a spiritual gift. Soul winning is a matter of obeying God. It's not some mystical spiritual gift that God gives preachers and a few others. It is doing what God said. John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Every born-again believer is sent. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28. And then Christ has given us the privileged office in verse 20 when we talk about, as I said, ambassadors. I used to belong to the Royal Ambassadors when I was in a Southern Baptist church, a young fella. We had RA. How many of you were RA? Some of you were that, or GA, Girls Auxiliary, or Royal Ambassadors. And we used to sing a little song. We get to the end of the song, and the end of the song said, I'm here on business for my Lord. And I remember going to the state conventions and all. We'd sing those songs, and the last thing, I am here on business for my King. And so we would sing that. We've been deputized to do it, and we need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege to work for the Lord. We don't need to get sidetracked. What sidetracks us? Sin, pleasure, bickering, not being brokenhearted about lost souls, that type thing. And that is a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great and high and holy calling. And so he tells us to be fruitful. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Take it and then share it and give it to others. And then we need to be rooted in the Savior, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Isn't that interesting? Jesus became sin. He knew no sin. Became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Rooted in the Savior. And we're not alone in what we're doing. Keep that in mind when you tell people about Christ. You're not by yourself. Jesus is always with you. He's always with you. Let that make you bold. We're rooted through the gospel. We got saved. The gospel has power. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The gospel has power. It's not our personality. It isn't your abilities. It isn't your forwardness. The power of getting people saved is in the gospel. And we need to share the gospel. We're rooted by the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're not by yourself. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and He wants to help you get the gospel out. We're born of the Spirit. He indwells us. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the early church had power because they depended on the power of the Holy Spirit to get the gospel out. And when we think about it, we get a little afraid, or we think, oh, that's not for me, or I'm inadequate, or I just don't think I can do it, and all of that. What we need to understand is God's in it with us. Just tell them what happened to you. Tell them how to be saved. If you're saved, you ought to know how you got saved, and do it knowing that the Holy Spirit has promised to bless your testimony and your witness. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be well-educated. You don't have to have a lot of money in your pocket. You don't even have to be good looking. But you got to witness for the glory of God. Those are not the issues. It's to understand what God has done. So our biblical ministry is being an ambassador for Christ, delivering the word of what? Reconciliation. Say that word with me. Reconciliation. You're an ambassador to be involved in reconciling, the ministry of reconciliation. And we have to ask ourselves, am I rooted in Christ? Am I regularly, on purpose, consistently telling other people about Christ? By the way, the rest of NASA's quote goes like this: to recognize that the greatest error is not to have tried and failed, but that in trying we do not give it our best effort. Not that we try and fail, but it's the sin is if we don't give it our best effort. And there are astronauts depending on them to do their very best. Their lives depend on it. All around us, there are people whose lives are depending on us to tell them how to go to heaven because they're ignorant. They don't know. They have plenty of religion, but we need to do it. And thank God it has eternal ramifications. And we're part of that. You are an ambassador for Christ. What are you doing with your ambassadorship? And are we involved, deeply involved, not just lifestyle evangelism, but verbal evangelism, using our mouth and tongue to tell people how to go to heaven? They can watch your lifestyle for 100 years and die and go to hell. We need to tell them how to go to heaven. They need to know. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of reconciliation, and help all of us to get over our fears and help us on purpose to practice that in our lives, and give us some fruit, Lord, because we're rooted in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.